राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
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 कृष्णा कीर्तन गान नर्तन पनो प्रेमामृतं मनीधि धीराधीर जनप्रियौ प्रियकरौ निर्मसरौ पूजितौ
श्रीकृष्णा
Amen.
नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादिनी पाश्चात्यादिशतारिणे श्रील प्रभुपाद हरे कृष्ण सो थैंक यू ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर कमिंग दिस इवनिंग I was a little doubtful how many of you would be able to come today when Hare Krishna Das Prabhu requested me to come and give a class on Srila Prabhupada, memories of Srila Prabhupada. Last Sunday when I was leaving, he just made that request. So that's why here we are here tonight to discuss about Srila Prabhupada. How many of you read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita? Please raise your hands. Very good. So, we all know about Prabhupada quite extensively. But still, I will give you some of my personal recollections, my personal experiences with Srila Prabhupada. I met Prabhupada for the first time in a dream. In India, I was searching for a guru, and for about a year I searched but couldn't find one. I met many sadhus, but I couldn't find a guru. The guru means, at least to my understanding, was to the person to whom I would be able to surrender myself without any reservation. And that person I couldn't. And then at one time, I gave up my search, thinking that if I really have a guru, then let him come and pick me up. I had been searching for my guru for so long, but I couldn't find him. So if I really have him, so let him come and pick me up. And thinking that, I gave up my search. And then, consequently, I came across the Nectar of Devotion. And when I started to read the Nectar of Devotion, from the very first page, it occurred to me that this is what I was looking for. All my, just from the very first page, it just came to me that this is what I was really searching for. And I became so engrossed in the Nectar of Devotion that I read it till I fell asleep. And then the next morning when I woke up, the first thing I did was to pick up the book and start reading it. And in this way, the next day also, practically the whole day, I read Nectar of Devotion. It was very fascinating. I found it very fascinating, and it came to really, you'll remember those of you who have read Nectar of Devotion. The Nectar of Devotion, the first wave of the Nectar of Devotion first chapters of Nectar of Devotion is very interesting, very profound. it gives you a clear understanding of devotional service. But then it goes to a stage when you can't really, at least at that time I couldn't understand what was going on. Like the mellows, the mixing of the mellows, the compatibility of the mellows, and all that. But still I could stop reading it. I just kept on reading. And in this way, just next day also I kept on reading Nectar of Devotion. And that night, the next night, I had a dream of Srila Prabhupada. Although it was like a dream, I was lying on my bed. I was sort of asleep. But it was so vivid that when I recall, it didn't look like a dream. It was more like, it was real. Because still now I can see how I saw Srila Prabhupada at that time. Like, I saw Srila Prabhupada was sitting on a throne. Like, in India, the sadhus generally don't sit on vasasana, elaborate vasasana. At the most, they sit on a raised platform. But to me, it seemed like Prabhupada was sitting on a throne like a king. And although he was dressed in saffron and shaved head and everything, but he looked like very majestic. He was the way he was sitting on the throne. And there was a brilliant light coming out of Srila Prabhupada. And when I saw him in that way, I felt that finally I found my spiritual master. That was the most profound feeling that was prevailing in my heart. That my heart was filled with joy that now I found my spiritual master. And then the next day I went to the temple, ISKCON temple in Calcutta. And I inquired about Srila Prabhupada, and I was told that Srila Prabhupada was in America at that time. And I felt that I will wait. At that time I thought that I already made up my mind that I would surrender to Srila Prabhupada. And now that Prabhupada is in America, I would rather wait till Prabhupada came back to India. And when Srila Prabhupada would come back to India, then I would surrender to him. And until then, I would go and see the places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes and Krishna performed his pastimes. I thought at the time, so I just... Because Nectar of Devotion extensively speaks about a life of a devotee in Vrindavan. So that I found very fascinating. So I thought first I'll travel to the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, and then I'll go to Krishna's pastimes, the place of Krishna's pastimes. So thinking that, the first place I went to was Mayapur. I arrived there in the evening, and evening arati was going on. And the whole atmosphere seemed to be very, very blissful. Those days, Mayapur didn't have so much, elaborate, extensive buildings and things. So just one building, and the temple room was at the ground floor, and above that was the guest house. And there were many devotees, and most of the devotees were Westerners. Although it was India, Mayapur, but there were very few Indian devotees. And most of the devotees were Westerners. And Jayaprataka Maharaj was there. I don't think he was leading the kirtan, but after the kirtan, Jayapataka Maharaj was giving the Jayathani. And it was very impressive to see that all the devotees were offering obeisances. And Jayathani was just going on and on and on. And I was very impressed that although he is an American devotee, but he knows so much about, and like he was giving Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Paribrahmika Charja. And in this way it just went on. And then after that I spoke to some devotees and they all were very happy to have me there. And they were, all of them were practically asking me, why don't you stay with us? And I felt that it was so nice that these devotees are so welcoming. And then I was told that there would be a Bhagavad Gita class. And so they took me to that hall. It was not in the temple room, it was on the floor above. There was a conference room. So in the conference room, Bhakti Raghav Maharaj was giving the Bhagavad Gita class. He gave the Bhagavad Gita class. Those days, he was a brahmachari. His name was Bhakti Raghav. I'm sorry, Raghav Pandit Prabhu. And he gave the class and I was so impressed that although he is an Westerner, but he knew so much. And he was quoting the shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. And I found it to be very, very fascinating. I mean, I read Bhagavad Gita, but I never tried to memorize the shlokas. And here he was quoting Bhagavad Gita, and he was actually speaking about spiritual life, which was so sublime and which made so much sense. Like he was actually pointing out that how materialistic way of life simply leads to complexities and miseries, whereas spiritual life is the real life of joy. And he spoke about surrendering to Krishna, and I was so impressed to see how learned he was. And also the whole atmosphere was so serene. Like, how many of you have gone to Mayapur? Raise your hands. Okay, so many of you have seen Mayapur. Now, you know how peaceful Mayapur is. Now, 35 years back, Mayapur was even more peaceful. It was so, like, outside, it was so quiet. And here the devotees were discussing about the highest philosophy, highest spiritual understanding. And I was thinking, this is the real simple living and high thinking. The life of simple living and high thinking. Like, everything impressed me so much about the temple, about the devotees, about the philosophy, and on top of everything, Srila Prabhupada. Then the next morning I attended all the programs. I attended the Mangal Arati and chanted. Somebody gave me a japa mala. And I was chanting, and I chanted, and after chanting I did, attended the class. And I found that class also was, Bhagavatam class was so profound, that by that time I made up my mind. I thought that I already made up my mind that I would surrender to Srila Prabhupada, I would join ISKCON. And here all these devotees are inviting me so much. So why don't I just stay? Like everybody had been asking me to stay there. So I said, why don't I stay? So then after that I got a pair, got a dhoti and a kurta, went to a barber, I shaved my head, I went to Ganga and took a bath, threw out my old clothes, and I put on the dhoti and kurta. And that was it. The beginning of my spiritual life. And so then devotees were very, very happy and that I respond. Some of them couldn't believe that. He said that I would so surrender so quickly. And so they told me that, how surprised they were. And then I told them, actually I already surrendered. And in my mind I already surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. And so this was just an external display of that surrender. And in this way my spiritual life began in the holy town of Mayapur. And I had many, many services from the beginning. Those days there were very few Indian devotees and very few educated Indian devotees. There were some Indian devotees, but they were just some village people. Many of them came from Bangladesh during that genocide in Bangladesh. And anyway, so they used to have a lot of problems with dealing with purchasing, dealing with the government officials. And so I got involved with all kinds of activities like that. One of my main service was to buy the materials for the long building. Those who have gone to Mayapur, you have seen the long building. It's 750 feet long. And it's the longest building in Bengal. So at that time, we are building that building. And Pancharatna Prabhu was the person in charge of that. And I was given the responsibility to buy the materials, meaning steel, cement, stone chips, wood, and whatnot. Whatever was needed for the construction, I used to buy them. And during my free times, I used to go to the libraries of other Gauriya Mutt, and I used to read books in Bengali. And then I came across some of Prabhupada's early writings from 1948 to 51. Prabhupada was the editor of that magazine called Gauriya Patrika. It was Keshavji Gauriya Mutt's publication. Prabhupada used to be the editor. And I found Prabhupada's writings from there. So I collected all those writings. And then I started to print a book. First, then those writings were put together in the, which has been translated as the Renunciation Through Wisdom. What is the, anyway, one of the Prabhupada's early Bengali writings. And it was, anyway, so that was, these were my two main services. One is to buy the materials for the long building, and for that I had to often go to Krishnanagar, I had to go to Calcutta. And in Calcutta also I was also supervising the printing of that book. So in this way I was quite engaged, quite involved. Sometimes I would also used to go out with the groups of devotees in traveling Sankirtan. And then I got the news that Srila Prabhupada came back to India. Prabhupada was in Bombay, so I just wanted to go to Bombay. So Bhavananda Maharaj and Jayapataka Maharaj were the co-directors of Mayapur. Prabhupada did not arrange Mayapur to have a temple president. Rather, Prabhupada had the co-directors, and they were two of them who were the co-directors. And then that means they were the leaders of Mayapur. So I, those days, Jayapataka Maharaj was mostly traveling and preaching and doing Sankirtan with the devotees. And Bhavananda was mainly managing Mayapur. So I went and told Bhavananda that I wanted to go to Bombay to meet Srila Prabhupada. So he discouraged me. He said, look, Prabhupada's health is not good and you cannot, I mean, hardly anybody can see Srila Prabhupada. And besides that, in Bombay nobody knew you. So the chances of meeting Srila Prabhupada is very little. So why don't you rather wait here and wait till Srila Prabhupada comes to mind? So I accepted that. And then he got the news that Srila Prabhupada was going to Kumbh Mela in Allahabad. That was in 1977. I joined in a few months before that, in 1976. And so from Mayapur, a bus was going with the devotees. There were 50 devotees who were going to Kumbh Mela in Allahabad. So I was in that team also. So Bhavananda Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj, all of them were there. And Guru Kripa Swami also was there. So we all traveled to Allahabad. We arrived in Allahabad at about 12 o'clock. So as I just arrived and put my things in the room where, in a tent where I was supposed to live, and then straight from there I went to see Srila Prabhupada. I inquired where Srila Prabhupada was, and I was shown that there was a big tent and it was walled all around. There was a wall made with corrugated tin sheets. So that was Prabhupada's quarters. Prabhupada was staying in that tent. So I immediately tried to go there. But when I went there, I found that on the gate, of the entrance, there was a big-bodied European devotee was guarding the gate. And he told me that I couldn't go in. He said, please come again, come at in the evening when Prabhupada gives darshan. So I was a little disappointed. And for the first time I realized how difficult it must be to meet Srila Prabhupada. Because those days Prabhupada had about 10,000 disciples. And everyone was dying to have Prabhupada darshan. So naturally to approach Srila Prabhupada was very, very rare. So this devotee was guarding the gate and he reminded me of that. So then I was just going back from there. And then I saw Bhavananda Prabhu. He was carrying a basket of vegetables that he brought from Mayapur to offer to Srila Prabhupada. And he told me, come with me. I'm going to see Srila Prabhupada. So I became very excited. And he was running and I also ran after him. And we walk through the gate, this time this big devotee didn't stop for another because he was bigger than him. Position. So, but there also I made a mistake. When Bhavananda walked straight into Prabhupada's tent, I from outside, I saw Prabhupada was sitting behind a desk. And from outside, as I saw Srila Prabhupada, I offered obeisances from outside. And so after offering obeisances, when I tried to go in, then Rameshwar Swami, he was Prabhupada's secretary at that time, he stopped me. He said, Prabhupada is taking prasad, no, to go in. They get disappointed. And then in the evening, Prabhupada gave darshan. I went. By the time I realized that it's very, very difficult to be near, to go near Srila Prabhupada. And I began to realize also there are so many devotees, like how everybody wants to see Srila Prabhupada. So, how is it possible? How will it be possible for Srila Prabhupada to give everybody darshan? Therefore, there has to be a specific time. And I began to realize also who am I after Bahu to be able to come to Srila Prabhupada. So, I used to just go to the tent. In the evening when Prabhupada used to give darshan, and I just listened to Srila Prabhupada. Hundreds of people, thousands of people used to come. Actually, Kumbh Mela is a time when millions of people gather there on the bank of Ganges. Three rivers, Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. Ganga and Jamuna is visible, but Saraswati is invisible. So in these three rivers, where these three rivers meet, Kumbh Mela takes place. It's very auspicious. And those days, I mean, Kumbh Mela is going on since time immemorial. And it is going on, and it's a custom. The pious people did go there to attend the festivity. Now thousands of people also go from the west to Kumbh Mela. The last Kumbh Mela in Allahabad a few years back had so many foreigners. It was amazing. Anyway, so those days also many people used to come. And in Kumbh Mela, Prabhupada used to give darshan in the evening, and in the morning we were allowed to have Guru Puja of Srila Prabhupada. We used to attend the Guru Puja. Sometimes Prabhupada used to give the Bhagavatam class also. And then one day we got to know that Prabhupada is leaving Kumbh Mela. All of a sudden, Prabhupada decided that he would leave Kumbh Mela. And Prabhupada was going to go to Calcutta. And a train was arranged for Prabhupada to travel. Actually, what happened is, in a Calcutta-bound train, one first-class carriage had been hooked on for Prabhupada to travel. Like, one whole carriage was arranged for Srila Prabhupada in this way. And so I got to know that Prabhupada was going to leave. But then, after a while, Bhavananda Prabhu, at that time he was a sannyasi, he came to me and told me that Prabhupada was leaving Kumbh Mela and going to Calcutta. And a few devotees would travel with Prabhupada in the train. And I have been included in the team. And that was one of the most exciting moments of my life. That I would be able to travel with Srila Prabhupada. And because there are hundreds of devotees in Kumbh Mela, and only 12, 13 devotees are traveling in Srila Prabhupada. And I have been included in that team. So at night, the train started. And soon after that, we all took rest. And next morning, I was chanting. And then Bhavananda came to me and said, come, I'll take you to Srila Prabhupada. Now, all this while I was waiting, I was actually dying to meet Srila Prabhupada. But now the time has come to meet Srila Prabhupada really. And it was just one compartment after mine that Prabhupada was there. And so something happened, like, you know, I don't know what actually happened. One thing probably I couldn't believe that I have this moment waiting for me, that I would meet Srila Prabhupada. Another feeling was that I'm not qualified to go near Srila Prabhupada. Another feeling was that Prabhupada will see all the dirt in my heart, and I was afraid. So when all this was going on in my mind, Prabhupada Bhavananda could understand that. And he grabbed me by my hand and he dragged me to the corridor and he opened the door of Srila Prabhupada's compartment and pushed me. And I fell flat, offering obeisances. When I got up, I saw Prabhupada was looking at me. And then Prabhupada said, come sit here. So in the first class compartment in the Indian trains, there's one seat, another seat facing that. In the seat facing Prabhupada's seat, Jayavataka Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj and Rameshwar Maharaj were sitting. Abhinam Prabhu, the temple president of Calcutta at that time, was sitting on the floor. And here Prabhupada is asking me to sit next to him. And I said, Prabhupada, you have to sit on the floor. And Prabhupada insisted, no, sit here. So there was a blanket that was spread on the seat, so I rolled the blanket, end of the blanket, and just sat on the corner. And after some initial exchanges, Srila Prabhupada told me to translate his books into Bengali. And I knew it was a massive task. Translating Prabhupada's books was not easy. Another thing also, I heard that Prabhupada was very particular about the Bengali translation, because so many of our acharyas already wrote in Bengali about. And anyway, so I kind of expressed my doubts about my ability. So I said, Prabhupada, will I be able to do it? I don't have any experience. Prabhupada said, practice makes a man perfect. Just keep doing it. And so that way I was fortunate to receive a service directly from Srila Prabhupada. Not only a service directly from Prabhupada, this service actually allowed me to go to Srila Prabhupada anytime I want. Because now I have the excuse that I have to show this translation to Srila Prabhupada. And so when he came, then we came to Calcutta, I was very happy that Prabhupada gave me this service. And everybody was also talking about how kindly Srila Prabhupada showered his affection upon me. Now, Prabhupada was in Calcutta and I was, Calcutta and Mayapur were practically together those days. And I used to often spend a lot of time. So Calcutta was like my temple. And so I was with Srila Prabhupada most of the time. And so one evening, Prabhupada was giving darshan to many important people that came to see him. And when evening aarti started, Prabhupada told them to go to attend the aarti. So I also left the room along with others to attend the aarti. And I was standing in the aarti and I was thinking, like, aarti I can attend any day, but to be with Prabhupada is a rare opportunity. So thinking that I left the aarti and went to Prabhupada's room. So when I opened the door, I kind of got a shock, sort of, because I saw Prabhupada was counting money. The donations that he should give Prabhupada was counting that money. Like in India, you kind of grow up with the idea that the sadhus don't touch money. But here, so that thought was there, but immediately I brushed it aside, thinking what a Prabhupada does is perfect. And then Prabhupada just looked up and said, "So, what do you want?" So I told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I just wanted to be with you." Prabhupada said, "So I sat down, Prabhupada kept counting." After he counted the money, he opened the drawer and he put the money inside, closed the drawer, and then he asked me, "So, what do you want?" And so I just blurted out, "Srila Prabhupada, will you please give me initiation?" I had doubt in my mind because I heard that many devotees have been waiting for 5-6 years and Prabhupada didn't give them initiation. So I was thinking, if that happened to me, then what would happen to you too? So that's why I was kind of, with a trembling heart, I asked you, pounding heart, I asked you, Prabhupada, whether you would give me initiation. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, sure, I'll give you initiation." During Gaur Punima festival, I'll give you initiation. So, in this way, Prabhupada stayed in Calcutta for a few days. Then he went to Bhubaneswar. I could have gone with Srila Prabhupada, but I didn't, thinking that this, I was printing that book that I mentioned, Prabhupada's early writings that I found out in libraries. And so I thought I would print the book and offer it to Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada stayed in Bhubaneswar for about 2 weeks and then he came back to Mayapur and I was again with Srila Prabhupada. One day, Srila Prabhupada called me one afternoon and he gave me a stack of letters, Bengali letters, that people wrote to Srila Prabhupada and he asked me to reply them. Reply them in the sense, I used to read the letter out to Srila Prabhupada and then Prabhupada used to give the points what to write. And then I would write the letter in Bengali. and present it to Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada would correct them. And then I would write the final letter on Prabhupada's letterhead, handwriting, because those days there was no Bengali typewriter. And so I used to handwrite those letters, and then Prabhupada used to sign. So when the Bengali stack of letters were replied, Prabhupada gave me a stack of Hindi letters. And then he asked me to reply. Then I started to reply those letters also. During that time, one day Prabhupada told me that he was appointing me as his Secretary for Indian Affairs. And he asked me to move into the room where his secretary, at that time Tamal Krishna Maharaj was Prabhupada's secretary. So, and he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj and he told him that he was appointing me as his secretary for Indian Affairs. And then this gave me an opportunity to just move to the room next to Srila Prabhupada with his secretary Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And a very wonderful experience with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. This was such an, indeed a great opportunity. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj is a very, very advanced devotee, very capable. And the way he took care of Srila Prabhupada's affairs, it was exemplary. So, then I started to not only just reply letters and show the translations, but I started to serve Srila Prabhupada also in this way. And after staying in Mayapur until Gaur Purnima, Prabhupada decided to go to Bombay. And during Gaur Purnima, Prabhupada gave me the initiation. He gave me both first and second initiation during the Gaur Purnima. And then Prabhupada decided to go to Bombay because a big program was arranged for Srila Prabhupada there in a place called Kras Maidan, which is in the heart of the Bombay city. The huge park, and in that park an arrangement was made for Srila Prabhupada to give his lectures. And so everything was arranged. Prabhupada was going to leave. Just a day or two before, Bhavananda Prabhu told me that I have so much to do in Mayapur, and if I left, then nobody would be able to take care of the affairs. So he wanted me to stay back in Mayapur, not go with Srila Prabhupada. And although my heart was completely broken with his request, but still I couldn't say anything, because he had already done so much for me. So I just accepted it. But at the same time, in my heart I was not able to accept it fully, thinking that this golden opportunity of being with Srila Prabhupada will be lost. So just the day before Prabhupada was leaving, something happened and Prabhupada just asked me, "Aren't you coming?" So I told Prabhupada, Bhavananda Maharaj told me that service and separation is higher than service and union. Prabhupada said, "Yes, that may be true, but I think when your spiritual master wants you to come with him, then you should come." I was just waiting for that, so I just ran to Baba and I told him, this is what Prabhupada is saying. He said, if Prabhupada said that, then you have to go with him. And then I kind of jokingly told him, and Prabhupada told me to tell you that you have to pay my fare also. And so this is how we had the good fortune of being with Srila Prabhupada, traveled to Bombay. Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay, and at that time the new temple was being built. The temple was not ready, but two towers were almost complete, and on top of one tower was Prabhupada's quarters. So when the car took Srila Prabhupada to his old apartment, old residence, Prabhupada asked, why, what happened, why did you bring me here? I want to go to the house. Then he was told that that place was not ready. Prabhupada said, ready or not ready, I'm going there. So, and that place was not ready. What was going on? But still Prabhupada insisted that he wanted to go. So devotees took Srila Prabhupada up there. The lift was somehow just working and managed to take Srila Prabhupada. The lift was being fixed. The lift was fixed actually. But the doors of the lift were not fixed. It was the final. The lift was going up and down, but it was not complete. But in that incomplete lift, Prabhupada was taken to his quarters, and the doors, carpenters were working, the marble floor was being polished, so everywhere it was complete chaos. But Prabhupada just sat there, and he just decided that he would stay there. And at that time, Tamakrishna Maharaj was actually very intelligent. Tamakrishna Maharaj with Giriraj Maharaj planned that it'll Prabhupada won't be able to stay in this way, so we can tell Prabhupada that the program is in the city. So from the temple to city it will take about 2 hours to drive. So why take 2 hours to go there and come back? So why don't you stay in the city? And in the meantime, this 2-3 days time that will be there, the apartment, proper apartment, could be completed. So the arrangement was then made, and Prabhupada and three of us went to the house of one life member, very wealthy life member, his name is Kartikeya Mahadeviya. He had a very beautiful apartment, huge apartment on the seafront, beachfront. And he vacated the whole apartment for Srila Prabhupada. And he moved with his family. He moved out of that apartment. In the same complex, they moved out. And so Prabhupada then stayed in Bombay for in that house the next few days. Every evening Prabhupada used to go to give darshan, to go give lecture. And one very memorable incident was that one day Prabhupada noticed one Muslim Arab gentleman was in the crowd. So he was dressed in Arab attire, the really long white kurta and white thing and a ring on top. So in the crowd he was just standing out. So Prabhupada noticed that, and Prabhupada sent somebody to call him onto the stage. And Prabhupada made him sit next to him. Prabhupada's asana was in the center. Asana. and on two sides there are chairs for sannyasis and important guests to come and sit. So he was asked to sit Prabhupada next to Srila Prabhupada on a sofa, and Prabhupada was talking to him, and it turned out that he was the chief of police of Kuwait. He came to Bombay for treatment, and that day he was, the first day he was allowed to go out of the hospital. And when he came out of the hospital and he was walking in that park, and he saw this big crowd, big gathering. So out of curiosity he came and he stood there, finding out what was happening. And Prabhupada just called him onto the stage. And it was such a wonderful sight. Like, here is a big Indian spiritual leader, and next to him there is an Arab Muslim gentleman sitting. But that actually showed, like, Prabhupada's broad-mindedness, that he was so open. And Prabhupada was treating that person so nicely. So this is also one thing that showed that Prabhupada's unusual compassion for the living entities. Like, Prabhupada was talking to him, and so he probably noticed that he had something like the Muslims often have, this counter beads. So Prabhupada asked him, what do you do with that? He said, just fiddle around. Prabhupada said, no, it's meant to chant the name of the Lord. Actually, it is a japa mala. And then Prabhupada pulled out his japa mala and showed it to him, that I also have one. And I chant the name of the Lord. And so in this way, Prabhupada had such a very sweet exchange with that person. And in the evening, Prabhupada used to, Tamakrishna Maharaj actually used to call and ask me to come over. Those days there was no mobile phone or anything. Like, he used to send somebody to take Prabhupada. They used to, Tamakrishna Maharaj and Bhagavan Maharaj used to leave early. And I used to be with Srila Prabhupada. And then they used to send the car and to call Srila Prabhupada. So I used to go with Srila Prabhupada to the program. And Prabhupada used to give lectures. By the time Prabhupada's health was not very good, Prabhupada's health was very frail and weak. But still, this was another amazing thing. Like, Prabhupada would be, when he would sit there, come there and sit there, you could see that he was so weak and he didn't have, he couldn't even sit straight. But as he would start speaking, his body would become straight and straight. And finally he would be shouting. And then after that, Prabhupada used to go back to the house. And I used to go with him. And then he used to lie on his bed and I used to give him a massage. In one such day, Prabhupada asked me, so, how did you like my lecture? I said, Prabhupada, it was wonderful. Then Prabhupada asked, what was so wonderful about it? And so I had to tell him whatever I could remember. Prabhupada used to be pleased that he had listened to his lecture that he did really. In this way, Srila Prabhupada stayed in Bombay city, in the house of Kartikeya Mahadeviya. And to attend the program in the Cross Maidan. And after that, Srila Prabhupada went to Bombay temple. By the time Prabhupada's quarters were complete. and Prabhupada went to his waters. It was beautiful, I'm sure you have seen that. The whole one floor was made for, designed for Prabhupada. As you enter, there's Prabhupada's darshan room. Prabhupada used to meet the visitors there. And a big desk. And there were two other desks on the right hand side. There was a desk where Srila Prabhupada used to sit and translate. And on that side, left hand side of the room, it's kind of a semicircular room. The other side of the room, there was this desk where Srila Prabhupada used to sit and take prasad. And then on that side was Prabhupada's bedroom and bathroom. And on this side, there were two rooms, Prabhupada's secretary's room and Prabhupada's servant's room. And then there was the kitchen. And outside was the reception area. So this is Prabhupada's quarters. And Kamalakrishna Maharaj and I were in sharing one room. And Upendra Prabhu and Bhavananda Prabhu shared the other room. And Prabhupada was quite relaxed there, and although his health was not very good. And one day, those days, one of our god sisters, Palika Mataji, used to cook for Srila Prabhupada. And she used to cook and I used to serve Srila Prabhupada. And one day, Palika was not there. Palika had some health problems, she couldn't cook. And another Mataji, another god sister of ours, was asked to cook for Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada couldn't eat anything. And when I noticed that Prabhupada couldn't eat, so I asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, the prasad was not all right. Prabhupada said, no, she doesn't know how to cook. So then I asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, should I cook for you tomorrow? Prabhupada said, yes, you can cook. And so the next day, Srila Prabhupada called me in the morning and he told me what to cook and how to cook. So I cooked and Prabhupada liked my cooking. I found out because after taking prasad, Prabhupada used to sit on his seat when I used to take the plate and wash in the kitchen. At that time, Upendra Prabhu, Prabhupada's servant at that time, used to come and take Srila Prabhupada to his bed. And Prabhupada used to lie down for some time. So Upendra took Prabhupada to his bed, and then Upendra just came running to me. He said, hey, what did you cook for Srila Prabhupada today? He liked it so much and he asked me also to taste it. Give me some prasad. So, and then at 3 o'clock, Prabhupada used to take lunch at about 12:30. And Prabhupada used to take some rest after that. And at 3 o'clock, Tamakrishna Maharaj used to go to Prabhupada with the letters. And he used to read out the letters and Prabhupada used to give the response to the replies. Tamakrishna Maharaj used to take note and type them. So after taking the dictation of letters from Srila Prabhupada, Kamakrishna Maharaj came and told me, you know, Prabhupada really liked your cooking. He was telling me how well, how nicely you cooked. So I was naturally not only happy, but became a little puffed up also. So the next day I cooked, and Prabhupada took one bite. And Prabhupada just shouted at me, "You don't have any standard." So one day you cook nicely and I praise you, and the next day you're gone. And I felt so bad. So the day after, I cooked very, very carefully. And then when I saw that Prabhupada was eating, I got some courage. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, was today's cooking, was it all right today?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, today it's all right." So then I told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I was so much in anxiety and I was so afraid today." Prabhupada said, "It's good. When you are serving your spiritual master, you must be afraid, you must be in anxiety." So in this way I got another service to cook for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada used to tell me, I used to go to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, my day those days used to be like, in the morning at 7 o'clock, I used to go to Srila Prabhupada with all the newspapers, daily newspapers. And I used to read out the headlines of the newspapers to Srila Prabhupada. And if Prabhupada liked the news, then he wanted me to read the... And then Prabhupada used to give a commentary also. At that time, like Indira Gandhi was... he called national emergency, country was... And Prabhupada made some very interesting comments about Indira Gandhi and the Nehru family. And this way Prabhupada would give comments on his own. And so at 7 o'clock I used to read the newspapers to Srila Prabhupada. And then at about 7:30, 8 o'clock I used to bring him to breakfast. Some very simple things used to take in the morning. And then I used to start translating and replying Prabhupada's letters. And then I used to cook for Srila Prabhupada. In this way the days were completely packed with activities. Then one day, two very important people came to see Srila Prabhupada. One of them was the ex-governor of Madras. His name was Sriman Narayan. And his brother-in-law, Ramakrishna Bajaj, he's the chairman of the Bajaj Industries. So they were very fond of Srila Prabhupada. And they came to see Srila Prabhupada. And when they saw that Prabhupada's health condition was not so good, they actually suggested that Srila Prabhupada went to some place for a change. And they suggested that Prabhupada went to Rishikesh, at the foothills of the Himalayas, on the bank of the Ganges. So Prabhupada liked the idea. He said, yes. He said that he never been to Rishikesh. So he liked the idea of going to Rishikesh. And they made the arrangement for a very beautiful building on the bank of the Ganges in Rishikesh. They're very wealthy people, very well connected, very influential. And it's not their house, but they arranged the best house in Rishikesh actually for Srila Prabhupada. And a small team of us again traveled to Rishikesh with Srila Prabhupada. Tamakrishna Maharaj, Upendra Prabhu, myself. Already Trivikram Maharaj was there making arrangements for Prabhupada's coming with Pramana Swami and Birava Prakash Swami. Jaduvar Prabhu was filming Prabhupada, so he also joined us. So this is how we moved to Rishikesh from Bombay. In Rishikesh we had a very nice time together. Like, it's a small group of us around Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada used to translate at night. And that's why one of us used to be with Srila Prabhupada all the time, just in case Prabhupada needed something. Like, Upendra Prabhu's shift was 10 to 12. Mine was 12 to 2. And Pramana Swami used to come from 2 to 4. And Tamakrishna Maharaj used to come at 4 o'clock. So this is how four of us used to be with Srila Prabhupada at night. And during the day, it's next to the Ganges. Like, in the afternoon, all of us used to go to the Ganges. Of course, I used to be the last one to go, because I used to cook and then serve Srila Prabhupada. And after serving Srila Prabhupada, I used to go to the Ganga. And we used to have a lot of fun in the river. Like, there the current is very, very strong. And you can just really flow with the current. And sometimes some log used to come floating, and used to climb onto the log and float on the log. Like, this is how we are just having a lot of wonderful time together, and then take prasad in the afternoon. But one night, Prabhupada called me. That means it was around 1 o'clock at night. And then Prabhupada told me, the time has come for me to leave this body. And I want to leave my body in Vrindavan. So please take me to Vrindavan immediately. So this came to me with such a shock. I, practically trembling, just ran downstairs, woke up Tamakrishna Maharaj, and told him what Prabhupada said. And then Prabhupada, when Tamakrishna Maharaj came up, he practically ran upstairs to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told him the same thing. And the time has come for me to leave my body. I want to leave my body in Vrindavan. Please take me to Vrindavan immediately. So that night only we packed up everything and we left for Delhi the next morning. And Prabhupada stayed in Delhi that night. And the next morning we left for Vrindavan. In Vrindavan the devotees didn't have the slightest idea why Prabhupada actually came back to Vrindavan. They were all so excited Prabhupada came to Vrindavan. There are hundreds of devotees in Vrindavan at that time. And Prabhupada just arrived and they were so ecstatic. There was an ecstatic kirtan going on to receive Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada went to a temple home. And after the darshan of the deities, Prabhupada went to his room. All the devotees followed. And they, when they came to Srila, came to Prabhupada's room, and when Prabhupada settled down on his asan, Prabhupada broke the news why he came to Vrindavan. And so the devotees were so ecstatic. Now immediately their ecstasy turned into agony. They just started to cry just by hearing what Prabhupada had to say. And then Prabhupada very sweetly, very profoundly explained that how our existence in the material nature is temporary. no one has come here to be here forever. And our understanding is Dehi Dushmin Jatahi. Prabhupada quoted that verse and he explained that verse saying, body changes, but in spite of the change of the body, the soul is unchanging, eternal. So just as the change of body doesn't affect the soul, living the body also doesn't affect the soul. Tatha dehantara prapti. From one body, well, the soul will go into another body. And dhiras tatra namiyati. The person who is situated in knowledge, he doesn't get bewildered by that. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada explained to all the devotees. And then when everyone left, Prabhupada called me and he told me that, told me not to cook for him and not to force him to eat. And he said, what's the point in eating when there is no appetite? And at that time I felt like Parikshit Maharaj, Prabhupada is now going to stop eating and drinking. And this is how he is going to give up his body. So I went to Thamar Krishna Maharaj and told him, this is how Prabhupada was speaking. And Thamar Krishna Maharaj also felt very helpless. So he was telling me, what can I do now? Like, it's like an ultimatum. Prabhupada is saying, don't cook for me, don't force me to eat. What do we do? We can't force Prabhupada to eat now. And and in this way, Prabhupada didn't eat for 3 days. But in the meantime, the devotees came back from all over the world. The news got around. And all the senior devotees came to Vrindavan and they had a meeting. And in that meeting they resolved that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. So if Prabhupada wants, then Krishna will fulfill Prabhupada's desire. If Prabhupada wanted to stay, then Krishna will allow him to stay. So Prabhupada's coming and going is simply depending upon Srila Prabhupada's own desire. But if Prabhupada leaves now, we will become orphans. And we won't, what will happen to us, what will happen to Krishna consciousness movement. So that was the conclusion of that meeting. And then Kirtananda Swami, as the spokesman of all the devotees, went to Srila Prabhupada. When they all came to Prabhupada's room, Prabhupada was lying on his bed. And Kirtananda Swami said that, Prabhupada, you are a pure devotee of Krishna. So if you want, Krishna will fulfill your desire. So please don't leave us now. If you leave, what will happen? While speaking like that, he broke down crying. And then Prabhupada told him, okay, if you also desire, then I'll stay. Oh. And everybody became so ecstatic. and yes, if we desire, so desire, Prabhupada will always be with us. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Thank you. Does anybody have any question?
Too late.
Too late. Yes.
I was reading also at Sunday, you was glorifying and admire the beginning of ISKCON in Switzerland, and also in the last 1 hour that I was sitting here, there was many times glorifying this devotee and this family. Why is this so important? And what's happened when we don't do that?
Well, it's up to you to figure out. What do you gain by glorifying others? When you glorify others, you acquire their qualities. You criticize others, you take their bad qualities. So do you want to take the bad qualities or do you want to take the good qualities? If you want their good qualities, then glorify them. Not only that, all this while what I was doing, I was glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Is he worthy to be glorified? Is he worthy to be glorified, Srila Prabhupada? So that's it. Those who are worthy to be glorified, glorify them. For your own spiritual benefit.
Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe.
Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe.
Radhe Radhe Govinda.